Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts. Dell TV.
This is Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening. Welcome to Brannon House Live. Glad you are with us tonight. I'm going to be joined by a lot of guests. I'm going to have to keep it moving tonight. Matt Staver joins me. He has argued before the U.S. Supreme Court and won many victories, including one recently, 9-0, on, the right for a Christian group to raise a flag at Boston City Hall. That's a religious liberty issue, a First Amendment issue. I want to speak to him about the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade, or at least by sending it back to the states. I want to speak to him about red flag laws, gun, Second Amendment attacks, really, is what it's really all about. And then also, I want to talk to him about the victory for the coach, the football coach, to pray on the football field at the end of the game. Matt Staver will join us in just 1 second. Then I'll be joined by Dr. John Witcher in a little bit. Remember him, the doctor from Mississippi? He'll be joining us with a father to tell the father's story. It's a moving one, to say the least, but a very important one, and we're glad the father's speaking out. He'll be a guest of us along with Dr. John Witcher. We're going to hear from Tina Peters and Ron Hanks. Ron Hanks is running for U.S. Senate. What's that, Logan? Yeah. We're going to have Mike Hammond, too. Logan's reminding me. We're going to have Mike Hammond as well. I haven't forgotten. I just hadn't gotten there yet. Tina Peters will join us. She's running for Secretary of State. Apparently, she's bounced up way in the polls in Colorado, and he's running for U.S. Senate. Ron Hanks will join us. And then Wes Peters will join us for a financial update. And then, of course, yes, Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. He's read this atrocious piece of legislation that Comrade Biden signed over the weekend. That's our guest, not necessarily in that order, but those are our guests. Let's get started. Let's go to Matt Staver of the Liberty Council. Matt, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. Good to be back with you again.
You too, Matt. As we get ready to celebrate 4th of July, we're getting some great victories from the Supreme Court. I don't know what your thoughts are on the one related to if the state is going to provide money to a private school, they got to be able to provide it to religious schools as well. I think that's a school choice funding issue. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Then we've got the case related to sending Roe v. Wade back to the states. We got the right to carry a gun with a background check and a permit to carry a gun and outside the home for protection, as Clarence Thomas put it. Then we've got this case related to this judge, coach praying on the football field. A lot of good decisions recently.
Yeah, since May the 2nd, we have 5 good decisions.
Yes,
five,
you're a 9-0 one. Is that 5?
The 9-0 one started on May the 2nd, and that was Christian free speech or viewpoint censorship that's impermissible. In that case, the city of Boston raised the so-called establishment clause as a reason why they had to censor Christian viewpoints among all the others that they allowed. That was the number one. And then today we have the bookend, which is the Coach Kennedy case. It actually cites to our city, our Shurtleff versus City of Boston case as a basis to overturn this PAD decision called the Lemon Test. So in between, you've got Shurtleff out of Boston. You got Coach Kennedy here with this case. And in between those, you have the school voucher case out of Maine. That's a great victory as well. You can't treat religious Christian schools differently than other schools. You got to give the parents a choice of the school of their choice, and that could be a Christian school. That's a great decision. We have the Second Amendment case, a great decision written by Justice Thomas. And then we have this blockbuster case that overturns Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Five huge decisions. And when you look at it, they really are focused on the First Amendment, all three clauses, free speech, free exercise of religion, and establishment clause, the Second Amendment, the right to carry, and then also the 14th Amendment and the rest of the Constitution with regards to this abortion decision that is a masterfully written opinion by Justice Samuel Alito. All five powerhouse decisions that will have incredible generational impact.
I never thought I'd see the day. Did you?
No. I mean, like this, all, you know, this is the biggest blockbuster term in our history, in our living history. And what it does is it turns the clock back to more of an originalism. So, you know, you start off with this Shurtleff case, and they wanted to raise this Lemon Test that was invented by the judges back in 1971 as a way to interpret the Establishment Clause. It was a way, frankly, to misinterpret the Establishment Clause. The Supreme Court rejected that 9-0 in our Shurtleff case. Then today, the court looked at the same issue. They looked at the intersection of free speech, free exercise of religion, and Establishment Clause. And you know what they said? You know, they're all in the same First Amendment. They're not at war with one another, as the previous decisions seem to suggest. The Establishment Clause is not at war with the Free Exercise Clause, and it's not at war with the Free Speech Clause. So they cite to Shurtleff, and they say none of the justices raised the Lemon Test in that case. It was 9-0. And in this case, we're burying the Lemon Test. It goes back to 1971. This is a case where you could find one judge opinion one way on the same thing, another judge opinion on the opposite, because they didn't use a historical approach. The Supreme Court today said, now we're going to get back to the historical foundational principles of the Establishment Clause itself. We're not going to have this judge-made Lemon Test that goes back to 1971. And when you look at the Thomas decision on the Second Amendment, same thing. They look at history. And this is going to have a huge impact outside of just the concealed carry situation or the must show cause as to why you're going to carry out of New York. It's going to have a big impact on Washington, D.C., which has a very similar law. And beyond that, some of these other restrictions on the right to bear arms. And then this blockbuster decision, one that is long overdue, that overturns this horrible decision of Roe v. Wade going back to 1973 and Planned Parenthood versus Casey going back to 1992, saying that there is no basis in the Constitution that Roe was egregiously wrong from the beginning.
Wow, excellent. So how is this this decision related to the Second Amendment going to impact the legislation just signed by Biden on Saturday?
Well, there's a lot of jewels in that Second Amendment case, and I know you got a guest on that's going to come to talk about that, so I won't steal that guest's thunder, but there's a lot of jewels in that case. It's a solid historical analysis written by Justice Clarence Thomas, and I think when you look at it, for example, Clarence Thomas says, you know, take, for example, New York. They said you had to show a reason why you needed a concealed carry permit in order to get a concealed carry permit. He said, if you look at the other amendments like the First Amendment, free speech, free exercise of religion and others, you don't have to show a reason why you need it. It's just that you're already entitled to it. If the government infringes on it, you have a right to enforce that constitutional provision. You don't have to show some special need. And so I think when you look at those red flag laws, they violate, in most cases, due process. They don't give proper notice. They don't give proper opportunity to defend yourself. They essentially assume that you're guilty until proven innocent. They can be very significantly abused. So I think there's a lot of gems in this Second Amendment case by Clarence Thomas that are going to be able to be used far beyond the situation in New York. And in fact, it even says some of these states that don't have a may but have a shall. In other words, you may get a concealed permit if the government says you have a reason for it, which was struck down. Even some of those that say if you follow A, B, and C and you shall get a concealed permit, some of those still may be unconstitutional because they put unnecessary burdens, hurdles, delays, or procedural problems for you to overcome in order to exercise that right. And there is no special right. There is no special situation with the Second Amendment that you have to show special need or special privileges in order to access any more than the other constitutional amendments.
What about stacking the court now? I mean, we've heard Biden say, well, we might use executive orders to correct this injustice by the Supreme Court. Sounds like insurrection to me, you know.
Well, I think it is, yeah.
Is stacking the court even, will they really try that, Matt?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't put it past these Democrats to do anything because they're desperate. They're looking at November. It's not looking very good for them. They will try to stack the court. I don't think they'll be successful at it, which means essentially they'll try to expand the court. Well, you know, this can be a ping pong match if you do that. Is the court going to become, you know, 50 people, 100 people at some point in time? The Republicans get in control and then they stack the court. So I think they understand, at least some of them, there's some of them that just have no rational thinking in this area. But I think some of them understand that it can be tit for tat. And that if they do lose, which it looks like they will lose in November, you know, they're going to be in a real problem situation. But I think on some of these things, what I am more concerned about is that they would try to override and abolish the filibuster rule in the Senate. And if they do that, that's going to open up the floodgate for an abortion law, for the Equality Act, and so many other kinds of bad legislation that would come down the pipe.
And for those who don't understand the filibuster, that's 60 votes to go to cloture, right?
That's right.
And so you stop the debate. At 60 votes, you stop the debate, you have cloture, you go to the floor, and you have a vote on whatever's pending. If you can't get that 60 votes to go to cloture, then you can stop a piece of legislation, correct?
That's right. And that's designed so that the Senate is more deliberative. The House has passed all these bills, and they're very, like, impulsive, if you will. Then it comes over to the Senate, and it's designed to slow down the process to be a little bit more deliberative. And that's why the 60-vote filibuster rule is there. If you can't get 60 votes to ultimately vote on the underlying matter, you can't vote on the underlying matter. And so that's what's really stopped a lot of these bills, like the abortion bill, the Equality Act, and so forth.
Manchin has been so important, right?
That's why Manchin is so important. Now, Manchin on the, say, for example, the abortion bill, Manchin has come out and said that he's in favor of passing a federal law that would codify the abortion decision of Roe v. Wade. He's clearly moved from a pro-life position to a pro-abortion position. Previously, though, he said that he was not in favor of abolishing the filibuster. That's the same for Sinema, the Democrat. There's also two Republicans that are in the same situation, Collins and Murkowski. They're pro-abortion. They have a pro-abortion bill that would codify Roe, but they said they're not in favor of abolishing the filibuster. If any two of those four senators change their vote in order to get an abortion bill passed and decide to abolish the filibuster, then they've got their 50 votes, and the 51st vote could be Kamala Harris. So that's a real problem that I think we're very much in tune with and very much focused on.
So let me ask you in closing, Matt, if you think that we are headed for more persecution of Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, Jews, you know, practicing Orthodox Jews that, you know, believe in the Torah, because it seems as though the rhetoric by the left, the vandalism, the firebombings, the Molotov cocktails, you know, even Rudy Giuliani this weekend was standing in a grocery store. I don't know if people saw the video footage, and some employee at this grocery store came up behind him. And on the video, it doesn't look that egregious, but the lady that was standing next to him said the man slapped Giuliani so hard on the back that she felt it standing next to him, and that he was kind of shocked he didn't fall over. And of course, at his age, and he fell over the wrong way, he could break a hip or worse, hit his head. So that guy's been charged today, but it seems as though there is all-out war coming onto conservatives. What do you think? Are we going to be in a post-Christian America? Are Christians and conservatives going to become more aggressive targets of the left?
Oh, I think so. I think on the one hand, we have a Supreme Court that's moving back more close to the original understanding of the First Amendment, the Constitution in general. And that doesn't sit well with these radicals, because for decades they've used the Supreme Court to get their way and thwart the Constitution and the will of the people. So when it goes back and it resets to where it should be, they're livid. That combined with other kinds of political things that have happened over the last several years, now Christians, people of faith, people that are pro-life, they're targets. I mean, we have hired additional security in Washington, D.C. because of the threats there in Washington, D.C.
For your office.
For our office in Washington, D.C. We've had dozens of pro-life centers and pro-life organizations targeted, vandalized, firebombed. Jane's Revenge is coming out saying that this is just the beginning, and anybody who doesn't relent and change their views on this pro-life issue, they're going to target them and graffiti and firebombs. You think that's something? You haven't seen anything yet. And yet they don't get pursued by the FBI. They don't get pursued by the Department of Justice. They just go free. And they're putting this out publicly, posting these threats. So, yes, I think what we're going to see is this cultural war. A lot of this has actually been generated in part by the Supreme Court, because they've generated this culture that's literally undermined the values of the country. Now we're moving back to a better, more consistent interpretation of the Supreme Court, but there has been a cultural issue. There has been a removing of God from our teaching in the public schools. There's been a removal of values that has happened. And now all of this is culminating so that there is no more tolerance. There is absolute viciousness. You know, what we see are people who don't respect life in the womb. They don't respect your life.
Absolutely.
They don't respect my life. They'll eliminate it if it gets in their way. And I think, yes, we're going into a time where it's going to be more persecution, and we have to be very much in tune and alert to this issue.
If you guys had signed up, and it's not, you can do it, but I'm just saying, if you'd signed up for the Liberty Council newsletter, you would have already gotten these headlines. Here's one that came in today to me. They were scalping babies. And that's a very important story. Here's another one. SCOTUS rules in favor of Coach Kennedy. Another one. With Roe gone, fire and graffiti just the beginning. We just talked about that. Matt Staver, watch World Health Organization, a threat to America's sovereignty. Watch his TV show. Another one. SCOTUS overturns Roe. Now the battle begins. I mean, here's one on the U.S. Supreme Court, protects the Second Amendment. So if you were on his newsletter list, I get nothing for promoting this other than tell you it's a great resource. If you want to get analysis as well as links to his TV show and radio show, you can sign up for his newsletter, lc.org. Just go to lc.org. It stands for Liberty Council, obviously. lc.org and sign up for that newsletter. What is this one, though? They were scalping the babies. What's that about?
Well, that actually came out from our litigation with Sandra Merritt, and this is actually on video. This is an undercover video that she and David DeLeiden did of these individuals that are abortion doctors with Planned Parenthood. And they literally were scalping babies. Some of them would be alive. And they were using the scalps to go to testing labs to test male baldness. These are living babies that were used as human guinea pigs to be able to see if you could remedy male baldness. I mean, this is like right out of the Nazi era.
Absolutely. Dr. Mengele, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's even worse things there. But this is the evil face of abortion. And, you know, when you're talking about the persecution, Brandon, what we're seeing is the mask of abortion being removed and the evil behind it being revealed. And that is the mask of it's a choice, you know, reproductive freedom, all those euphemisms. It's all being removed. And what you're seeing is a violent underbelly, a violent death culture that's always been there.
Absolutely. It's really scary. Well, you're doing great work. Your 9-0 case kicked it off, so thank you for that. And appreciate your being with us tonight. As always, we look forward to our next judicial update, legislative and judicial and executive branch update, because you really cover all three branches of our government with your legal great work at Liberty Council. So thank you, Matt.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. What a great term that we have. And frankly, this is the biggest blockbuster term, as I mentioned, of our lives. This has been long in the coming, but the battle is far from over.
Yeah, it's far from over. But we needed some good news, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we did. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Matt Staver checking in. I hope you'll check out his website, lc.org, lc.org.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110-plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.
Joining me now is Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. I texted Mike today. I said, Mike, I hope you've read this legislation. He said, I have. So he's going to join us before joined by Dr. John Witcher. We still have Tina Peters, Ron Hanks, Wes Peters. We got a full lineup tonight. Let's go now to our friend Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. Mike, are you there?
Yeah. Hello, America. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go. You know what? You started that. You and Ben Carson started the Let's Go, Brandon thing.
Really?
Yeah. Ben Carson came on to the desk with me at CPAC and said, Let's go, Brandon. And then you started it. Logan says they're ordering hats. Logan says they're actually going to order some Let's Go, Brandon hats that then say LindellTV.com, FrankSpeech.com in the back. So I guess...
Well, I hope I'll get a cut.
Well, I was going to say, since you kind of are responsible for this, you're going to get one. So I guess pretty soon they're going to have Let's Go, Brandon hats to promote the show.
Absolutely.
So there you go. All right. Well, let's get to it. Have you read this piece of legislation that Comrade Biden signed on Saturday?
Yes, I've read this abomination. All that I could stand. Basically, it's unconstitutional from its very beginning. First of all, the red flag gun confiscation. In the middle of the night, ex who doesn't particularly care for you.
Oh, yeah, because anyone that's got an ex, you know they just love them, right?
Yeah, exactly. You obviously know that person is motivated by only the most altruistic purposes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the ex who hates you, who's sitting there in the middle of the night stewing over how badly you treated him or her, calls up a judge signs an affidavit or attests to an affidavit. The affidavit doesn't have to be proven in any sense. And the next thing that happens is, without talking to you, the SWAT team arrives at your home. Now, if you're lucky, all they'll do is ransack your house and confiscate your guns like Nazi Germany.
That's if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're really unlucky, like Gary Willis of Ferndale, Maryland, they will shoot you to death. And as I've said many times, Maryland has abolished capital punishment for crimes such as murder, and so the only capital crime in Maryland is being a law-abiding gun owner. So at any rate, this legislation pushed by Lindsey Graham, if Lindsey Graham, anywhere he goes, doesn't get boos and shouts and driven out, then I don't know what the gun movement is doing in America. So Lindsey Graham has came up with the idea of encouraging every state in the country to set up these gun confiscation, middle of the night SWAT team Nazi raids, and in order to do that, he creates a funding program. Those states that don't have middle of the night Nazi raids, that is, who have some respect for the Constitution, some respect for due process, some respect for the fact that individuals need to have their own point of view heard before police show up and raid their house, those states end up paying for the fascist, repressive states that do believe in middle of the night raids.
So what specifically have you seen in the legislation, in addition to what you've just quoted to us?
Several things. Mm-hmm. First of all, the middle of the night gun raids are a violation of due process, as your previous guest said, and unconstitutional. But another violation of due process is this provision which allows the government, when a 20-year-old seeks to purchase a firearm, any firearm, it allows the government to open all that individual's juvenile records. Now, there's a reason why things fundamentally change for an individual legally when he turns 18. And that is, before that time, he has no substantive due process, no right to a jury, no substantive due process rights. And so in order to use that information, which was purloined in connection with his juvenile proceedings, basically the government has to violate his due process rights. It has to take information which was obtained on him in a process in which there was no due process. So we believe that's unconstitutional. Thirdly, there's a provision called, quote, gun trafficking. Sounds reasonable. You don't want people trafficking guns. But what it is a lowering of the standard to a negligent standard when you sell a gun to any individual. Now, currently the law is, and I wrote the law in connection with McClure-Voltmer, currently the law is if you sell a gun to your neighbor and your neighbor, unbeknownst to you, smokes marijuana, then that's not known to you. That's not illegal. Under this provision, if you sell a gun to your neighbor smokes marijuana, you don't know anything about it, or alternatively, your neighbor has had trouble with the VA, which you don't know anything about, you go to prison and your neighbor goes to prison.
So the bottom line is, you basically, if you have a gun, you better keep it.
Yeah, basically, you sell a gun to someone else at your own risk. But similarly, if you're a collector and want to sell a gun from your collection, you run the risk that the government is going to define the sale of as little as one gun as engaging in the business, which means that you're engaging in the business without a license, which means you also go to prison.
Wow.
So every time you sell a gun to your neighbor, every time you give a gun to a relative, you risk the possibility that you are going to end up in jail.
So if
it's not coincidental. Basically, the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans don't want individuals buying and selling guns to their neighbors or passing on guns to their children or giving guns to their cousins or nieces and nephews. They don't want any of that because they don't have this list which will allow them to send those SWAT teams to your home in the middle of the night.
Wow. So what if you have a gun? Someone listening now has a gun. They're like, yeah, I want to sell this gun and get the extra money from it. I've had some guns around. I don't need as many. Or you inherit a few guns. And you're like, I'd kind of like to sell these guns now and get the money out of them. Or maybe someone's watching and their spouse, you know, their husband's died and he has a gun collection and the widower's thinking I could come up with some money here. What do they need to do to avoid being in trouble? Go to a federally licensed gun dealer in your town?
Well, they can go to a federally licensed dealer, and what happens at that time is the dealer fills out a form called a 4473. And the problem is that every year for many dealers, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms comes around and inspects them. And frequently, a BATF tells the dealer to leave the room so it can photograph these 4473s. Now, theoretically, I drafted language myself that said that is a violation of law. They don't care. The federal government doesn't feel that it's bound by the law as everyone else is. And as a matter of fact, last fall, GOA got 52 congressmen to write BATF and ask them, how large is your gun registry? We expected the answer would be, our gun registry doesn't exist, because I drafted the language myself that said that gun registry was illegal. Surprisingly, they came back to us and said, we have almost a billion documents in our gun registry. And that, if that doesn't convince you that, Nazi Germany has arrived, that the government now feels that it is above the law, which is governing everyone else, then I don't know what does.
Well, in conclusion, take a look at the screen, Logan, if you can show that to him. This is what I did my radio show on today. I had Colonel Lawrence Sellin, U.S. Army Colonel, retired Lawrence Sellin. He's written a great article and I interviewed him on this. The Biden regime is turning the military against the American people. I'll fix that typo. Against the American people, should be an N in there. And the need for governors to establish a state guard to oppose them. I guess Texas, Florida, I know DeSantis has talked about his state guard. This is different from the National Guard. This is a state guard. And he's saying, this retired colonel is saying, we need state guards now because the federal government is turning against us. They're weaponizing the military. They're purging the military. They're not recognizing religious exemptions for those with the COVID shot who don't want it. Those guys are leaving. They're being kicked out. They've had a stand down order for promotions for a period of time while they purge the military of any conservatives or constitutionalists that wouldn't go along with the LGBTQ agenda, such things. So they're teaching critical race theory. So here was a retired Army colonel saying, it's time for the states to develop more state guards besides the few that have them. Your thoughts on this, please, Mike?
Well, interestingly, I mean, when George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door and they called out the National Guard, they called out the National Guard in order to enforce the Supreme Court's decisions. You see today where the governor of New York and a lot of other people are saying the Supreme Court is illegitimate. We will do whatever the heck we want. We will ignore what the Supreme Court says. The front page of USA Today was a blaring headline that said, court's legitimacy in question after ruling. Now, court's legitimacy is called into question. It's in question, and it's backed up by a quote from Elizabeth Warren.
True. All right.
So, you know, the she had no problem when let me give an example about along the same lines of scalping babies in communist China for about 20 years. They had a policy whereby in rural areas, you would see dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of little baby girls left out on the side of the road to die. And the federal government, incidentally, the United States government, was supporting that policy through UNFPA and other federal abortion subsidies. So the notion of mass genocide done with taxpayer money is not new. It's pervasive.
It is pervasive, and I think we now have mass genocide from the CDC, the FDA, and our central government through the COVID death shot that all the indications are they knew exactly from some of their trials exactly what this shot would do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, anyone who trusts the government is probably more or less deserves what they're going to get.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
In Norway over the weekend, an individual engaged in a mass shooting in which he killed two individuals, seriously wounded, critically wounded another 10. Interestingly, you don't see that mass shooting on the front page of the major American newspapers. You see it on D10 in one newspaper. You saw it on page 10 of the New York Times. And the reason is because Norway has all of the gun control we're now being told will keep us safe.
Wow.
And it didn't keep them safe. As a matter of fact, the most serious school shooting in history in the world occurred in Norway, and the shooter was sent to a country club prison for 22 years. That speaks a lot louder to those people who would shoot up a school than the sign that says no guns allowed.
Are you guys going to take at gunowners.org, are you guys going to take legal action against this legislation by Biden? Are you going to challenge it in the courts?
Yeah, we are going to take a variety we're going to file a variety of lawsuits. Some of them are going to be against new New York legislation in which the governor basically says to the Supreme Court, you can go take a hike. I'm just going to ignore whatever you do. And I think on due process grounds, on both the juvenile justice records and also the red flag gun confiscation laws, we will bring an action against the federal legislation as well.
Excellent. Gunowners.org, gunowners.org. As always, Mike Hammond, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Hammond, gunowners.org, gunowners.org.
The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Tickets are now available, and just like last year, it will sell out this year as well. We only have seating for 1,000 people, filled up last year in 2021 and 2022. Is sure to do the same. Hello, I'm Brennan House. Join us for the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. The resort is right on the water. It's all inclusive. You come there and you stay and your meals are there and you register for our conference. And we have a great lineup this year. Keynote speakers in person will include Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, an expert on pandemics and bioweapons. We'll have with us CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, expert on technocracy and globalism, Annie Cyrus, born in Iran Brennan, an expert on the Middle East, Dr. Lee Merritt, former military surgeon and expert on bioweapons, Dr. Andy Woods, pastor, lawyer, and also expert on Bible prophecy, Terry Turchi, former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, author and journalist, an expert on illegal immigration and the border crisis, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, she is a bioweapons analyst. This is the incredible lineup. There's also the option of the Thursday night banquet concert, and then also the luncheon on Saturday, the WVW Foundation luncheon on Saturday. Now, these things on Thursday night and the luncheon on Saturday are optional. You don't have to attend those if you don't want to, but you can. And you can get your tickets along with your general seating or your priority seating tickets for the conference itself at WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there, WVWTVstore.com. Be sure to call the resort. Use that promo code WRLD, or just say Worldview Weekend, or the code WRLD, and you will get the weekend rate when you book your room reservations at the Tantara Margaritaville Resort, right there on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline, rolling hills of the Ozarks. It's gorgeous. So don't delay. It will sell out. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone, you can call Melissa and or text her at 901-825-0652. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone. Otherwise, WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
Before we go to our next guest, these came in today. 10,000 copies of Grave Influence. One of the 14 books I've written. It's the best-selling book that I've ever written. And I agreed to a third printing if we would sell it hardcover, not for $20, but for $4.99. But if you buy it in bigger quantities, like 10 or more, you get it for $3.99. Now, this book cost us well over $3 to print, well over $3 to print and have it shipped to us by truck as it arrived today from Minneapolis. Then we've got to pay for the bubble wrap package it goes in, the label, and the young people that pack it up and send it to you. So again, we're not making money on this, but we are trying to give you a book and hope that you'll buy quantities. I saw someone today, again, bought a whole case. We go to WVWTVstore.com right here, WVWTVstore.com. You'll see you can get it, one by itself for $4.99. That's, again, basically at our cost, folks. And then you can get a five-pack set, but you go to a 10-pack set, you're down to $3.99 a piece. You can get a case. Case is 24 for $95.76. Give those out. Same thing with Marxianity. That book, this, by the way, is over 386 pages. Marxianity, also over 300 pages. That book we're selling for $4.99. And then I combined it with Grave Influence, so you can get both of these books, normally $20 a piece, $40 retail, and you're getting them for under $10. Why? Because so many of you are supporting us through our foundation at WVWFoundation.com. Maybe you want to put that up there, Logan, that lower third. So many of you are supporting us through our WVWFoundation.com website with your gifts and contributions that we're able to do projects like this. So if you appreciate what we're doing, not only can you go to WVWTVstore.com and get these books at this really ridiculous price because we're trying to get you to buy quantities to give to high school students, college students, adults, your city council, your state representative, your state senator, your pastor, your youth pastor. We're trying to get as much information out as we can to counter the brainwashing operation that's been going on in America for decades. And if you appreciate projects like this, what we're doing with these books, all the free shows we bring you, if you go to my website, WVWTV.com, you can watch all kinds of free radio shows, or listen to the free radio shows, watch the free TV shows. In some cases, you can actually watch the radio shows because the radio shows not only aired on 60 terrestrial stations, we actually put it on TV. So you can actually watch the radio show, too, at WVW-TV. But that bandwidth bill over there is several thousand dollars a month. We pay that. Every time someone watches a TV show, listens to my radio show, we pay for that bandwidth bill. So when you support what we're doing through WVWFoundation.com, you're helping us do all these projects. So again, I hope you'll do that. So there are three ways you can support us. You can go to MyPillow.com, use that promo code B66, get up to 66% off. that MyPillows now are down to $19.88 since Walmart canceled Mike. He's offering that incredible special. Sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds. By the way, B66 also works at mystore.com, which is the entrepreneur mystore.com. That B66 works there as well. So use that code B66. Then you can go to WVWTVstore.com. You can get freeze-dried food, emergency freeze-dried food, 72-hour if you want to just try it out, 4-week, 2-week, 3-month, 6-month, a year. It's got a 25-year shelf life. We've been distributors of freeze-dried food since 2016. And so you can support us there. I know you can purchase those supplies elsewhere. Thank you for purchasing it from us. It's a big part of our general operating budget. I could go through the list of people that work with us. Because again, without these resources, how do I pay Annie? How do I pay Jeb? How do I pay Thomas? How do I pay Lily? How do I pay Caleb and Zach? And who else am I missing out there? I know I'm missing somebody. Let's see, who else? I listed 6 of them right there that I pay. So I know I'm leaving somebody out, I know, just on the WVW-TV side. So the point is, you see all that we do. You can watch it. You can listen to it. You can read it. But I have to pay all these people to keep all this stuff going and running. We need your support. So again, I know you can purchase your emergency freeze-dried food supplies somewhere else. Thank you for doing it with us at WVWTVstore.com. And then finally, again, WVWFoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, a contribution of any size, you can use that website and find our mailing address, which is also on the screen, WVWFoundation.com. But these books arrived today, so be patient. They will become media mail. Media mail, the cheapest we can go is media mail. So it's not going to be dropped in the mail tomorrow and show up tomorrow. I actually ordered something from Amazon yesterday, and they tried delivering it the same day. I was like, what? I ordered it yesterday, and they tried delivering it last night. I was like, that's like Buck Rogers. That's like drones. I mean, how are they doing that? And they're, they tried delivering it. I didn't answer the door, but I wasn't expecting it. Really? I ordered it the same day, and they tried delivering it the same day. Wow, that's crazy. We're not like that, okay? So we're going to go book rate. And so be patient, and there's a lot of orders. We'll fill them in the order they came in. But the book is now in. Hardcover, 21 Radicals, Grave Influence, 21 Radicals and Their Worldviews That Rule America from the Grave. It'll help you understand so much of what's happening in America and why. I saw some guy with Fox News, Seth something another, or whatever his name is, talking today about the Frankfurt School. It's like, yeah, where you been? We were started talking about the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism back in November 1997 at our Worldview Weekend Conference in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so many of the pro-family leaders and the conservatives and the talk radio heads, they didn't want to talk about cultural Marxism or communism in America. Don't you know the Berlin Wall fell? And they didn't want to talk about it. Now everybody wants to talk about it and be an expert. And I was listening to them talk about the guy that wrote the Pledge of Allegiance and cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School. I thought, darn if it doesn't sound like some of them have been reading my book, and I can point you to some well-known guys who actually have pretty well plagiarized my stuff. One national figure called me up and said, I want your book, Grave Influence and Marxianity. I said, really? Why would you want me to mail that to you? I want to write a book that kind of combines those two books, but I don't want to name a bunch of names. And I'm a nice guy, and so I sent them to him, and sure is snot, he wrote that book, and one of my friends, old enough to be my dad, he called me up. He said, so-and-so wrote a book. I said, yeah, you don't say. He said, he plagiarized you. I said, why you say that? He said, because I've read Marxianity and Grave Influence, and it sounds like he was plagiarizing you. I said, well, let me tell you a funny story. He asked me to mail him those two books so he could write that book. And I said, did you see my footnotes in there? Do you see a bibliography? Do you see me credited anywhere? He said, no, man, you were nowhere to be found. I said, yeah, add him to the list of all the other guys that plagiarized my stuff. So apparently, after I heard an interview with some guy on Fox News today, talking about so many of the things in a couple of my books, I'm like, doggone it, but it doesn't like he's got a hold of my books too. But anyway, you will understand what's happening, even though it's taken the guys at Fox News and so many of them 20 years to catch up or more. All right, joining me now is Dr. John Witcher, and Dr. John Witcher has a very special guest he's bringing on with us tonight. Many of you remember Dr. John Witcher. He's from Mississippi, And he's been in our studio several times, saved the lives of many patients, taking them out of the hospital where they were about to die due to remdesivir and kidney failure and being put on machines. And he got them out of there with the families. You know, the families came to him, said they're going to kill our relative. And he would go into the hospital, get these folks out, take them to a hotel and set up shop with a nurse and himself as the doctor and save these lives. And he has had great success. Dr. John, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Thanks for inviting me back. Appreciate being here. And yeah, for those folks out there, your audience who don't know me, I'm Dr. John Witcher. I've been a practicing medical doctor in the state of Mississippi for 25 plus years. I'm a general practitioner, emergency room physician in the rural setting. And so my patients have been pretty much, the rural Mississippians. Okay. So that's where I've been. I was in the hospital setting for the last about a decade. And my last position, I was an ER director and the hospitalist medical director of the hospital. And so when COVID hit, I was there day one seeing COVID patients. So I was very aware of COVID. I started treating patients with hydroxychloroquine like many other doctors did. And until it was the hospital took it off the protocol, the pharmacist came to me and said, you can't use hydroxychloroquine anymore for COVID patients. And I said, well, you know, I'm having pretty good success. I think I'll continue. Then I got a letter from the higher ups that basically said, you know, nobody's going to give hydroxychloroquine for COVID patients. Okay. And that was when a bogus Lancet study came out claiming hydroxychloroquine was not effective or harmful. That later turned out to be a bogus study, but it was not, the media never took that back up. And so shortly thereafter, remdesivir became the hospital protocol. And, if you do some research on that medication, that's Dr. Fauci's. He's heavily involved with remdesivir and had a very poor track record with Ebola. Matter of fact, had to stop the study. 53% of the people died. So why would this medicine come out to be used against COVID? But that was the medicine that all hospitals across America used. I'm not talking about just a few. It was nationwide, and it was just the hospital protocol. It was a very good drug for the hospitals to make money with. Okay. Absolutely. Hydroxychloroquine was not a drug they could make money with. So, you know, fast forward, I was very skeptical when they came out with these vaccines right off the bat. I felt like, you know, that they were, any new medication, you have to be skeptical. Pharmaceutical companies have a good long track record of not being ethical and basically lying. So, you know, I took the approach of a conservative approach and let's just wait and see. And, certainly don't get in line, be the first one in line to get vaccinated. So I was quickly labeled an anti-vaxxer. And basically went towards the end of the year, we were told that all of us, we either get vaccinated or we lose our jobs. Okay. And so me and some other physicians and nurses and healthcare workers, we had been fighting COVID from day one. And some of us had gotten COVID. I've never gotten COVID even to this day. And I've been around COVID face to face with it from day one. And that's just, you know, some people just don't get COVID. You know, they have an innate natural immunity. And so, this wasn't being recognized. And so, We fought. My wife and I, we started Mississippi Against Mandates. We grouped with some other doctors, nurses, healthcare workers across the state, as well as concerned citizens at this point. And so we took to the streets and the media, and we protested against mandating the vaccines. And we've had some successes. We helped many, many people be exempt from the vaccines in hospitals and universities, schools, employees. And so we feel like we made some very good progress there. And it's an uphill battle.
Okay? So tell me about our guest tonight. Do we have him with us tonight?
We do.
Will you introduce him for us?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, where we're at, you know, this whole, we know the vaccines, there's no safety data profile that are on these vaccines, okay? They're just not. I mean, they have been pushed through. And first of all, children, healthy children don't need to be vaccinated. They do not have a problem with COVID. And so there definitely are injuries from these COVID vaccines and deaths, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm treating a lot of vaccine injured. And I want to introduce you to Ernest and his son, Ernesto. There is absolutely no question that one shot of Pfizer caused his death.
And so, how old was he?
14-year-old.
14. All right, sir, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. Our condolences to you and your family, and thank you for speaking up and speaking out. We're, again, condolences to you and your family.
Hello, Mr. Wisher. Good to see you again. Well, I love you and your wife. You're some real good people. My son was 16.
He was 16?
Oh, I'm sorry, 16.
16. Yeah. All right. Tell us your story, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, like, it was turning crazy. This world's turning crazy, and I'm a single parent. So, you know, it was just me and my son. You know, I've always said we're best friends. You know, we were always together. Like I said, anything we did, it was always together. He played baseball since the age of 7. And I wasn't really into sports, but because he wanted to play baseball, I ended up coaching Little League for 7 years. And I mean, it was a wonderful time we spent together. I was anxious. I'd get home early, you know, to make sure we make it to practice and to the baseball games. And I mean, it was a sport he loved so much. And then when this COVID hit, you know, naturally, I was a little worried, so I took the vaccine first. I figured if something, any reactions, I would know about it. So I took the Moderna, and you know, we stayed indoors. You know, I never let him out. You know, I felt bad for him. The only time he'd go out, he'd get up early in the morning. He'd run 2 laps around the whole subdivision because he wanted to stay in shape for when baseball started up again. You know, he was just that dedicated. So, like I said, he was healthy. He was always exercising, eating right. You know, he never, you know, overexerted on certain stuff, you know. So, like I said, when we did go out, you know, we wore masks and sanitized our hands all the time, like they always told us. And so when around the January 2021, they said it was safe for teenagers. So I told my son, well, let's go get the vaccine because, like I said, he was my world. All they showed on TV here is people in the hospital on ventilators, and there's no way in the world I wanted to see my son like that. And then they were not letting people in the hospitals to be with their family. Like I said, I would do it for my son, and they wouldn't have kept him from me if he wouldn't have been in the hospital. So, well, we ended up taking him. Right away he was willing. He said, yeah, Dad, let's go. So I took him to get the Pfizer vaccine, and we still stayed indoors. He had no reactions. He didn't show any symptoms. Every day was a normal day. I'd wake him up in the morning, give him a hug and a kiss. You know, I always showed him I loved him. I wanted him to know that his daddy loved him. So I would always give him a kiss in the morning and a hug. I go to work. When I come home, he'd come outdoors to meet me at my van. It could be raining, it could be cold, but he would always meet me out front. And I would, like I said, I would give him a hug and a kiss, and we made our plans for the day, you know, if I was going to cook for him or if I was going to take him out to eat, whatever he wanted. And my neighbor, she came. She called me, I'm sorry. For all these years, her husband was a good friend of mine, and they were always checking on us since it was just me and Junior. Have y'all ate, mister? They always wanted to send us, you know, plates. You know, they were good people, real good Christian people. And she called me that Saturday, 5 days later, And she asked me, "Hey, mister, can I take the boys out to eat and play basketball?" And I said, "Of course, ma'am." They were like family to me. And her son was Junior's best friend. They were like brothers. They were never apart. So she took them and they went to eat. She said they were playing video games. Because here at the front, well, like I said, I was at the front door. I gave him a hug and a kiss and I gave him some money. I told him, be good and behave, which I had never had a problem. Everybody loved him because he was so respectful. I always got compliments on my son. You know, he was a type, we'd go to the store and he would open the doors for ladies. He always taught him, to be a respectable gentleman. So he would always say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, So like I said, I had no worries with him. Not one day did he ever give me a problem. That day I gave him some money. I gave him a hug and a kiss, as usual. And so they went. She said they were playing the video games. Then they went to the park. They had just got to the park, and they were going to play basketball. And they started running across the court. And she told me he just saw it.
I'm sorry. Pick it up right there. Sorry about that. He was running across the court?
Yeah, and I just happened to local PD was there, and he seen what happened, so he started doing CPR.
So wait a minute, someone's Skype rang in, and I couldn't hear you. So your son was running across the basketball court, and he collapsed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then local PD was there when he just happened to see it, and he started doing CPR until the ambulance got there. And, I raced over there when she called me hysterical. I didn't believe it. She said there was something wrong with Junior, and I couldn't believe it because he never got sick. Nothing. I never really had to take him to a doctor, because everything was little sniffles or a cough, all them years. So they were loading him up in the ambulance, and I chased the ambulance. I mean, I was almost on top of that ambulance, because I was scared. I was in a panic. So I got there, and they were still working on him at the hospital for a while. And, like I said, that doctor seemed like he had no heart, no feeling. He just came on. He goes, "Oh, well, your son's dead. We couldn't do anything." And I don't know, it just affected me because my son's life meant that little. It didn't mean, it meant nothing to him. And naturally, I got angry. I grabbed the doctor and, I was just hysterical. So all they wanted us to do is leave because, your son's dead already. There's nothing else we can do. And like I told a lot of people, I used to take my son to church every Sunday. I would always tell him we have to thank God for all our blessings because we were healthy. We didn't lack. And I had the best gift in the world, my son. Like I always said, I felt like a millionaire having my boy. And then I got home that night. I walked at that. And I just, I cursed God out loud. And anyone that called me, I cursed them for praying to God, because I couldn't believe as much as I taught my son to be grateful and love God. I was trying to figure out how could he do this to me. But like I said, even though I had gotten suicidal, I remembered that in the back of my head, I couldn't do that because if I did that, I wouldn't see my son again. And then I realized, you still have faith because I know I couldn't do that. So I made my peace with God. And I realized it wasn't God that took my son. Man killed my son. And that's why I figured I need to do something. I need to change all my anger and hatred into something positive because I know my son would want me to do that because I taught him how to always be respectful so he can get respect in return. And I've decided to start fighting for everyone else in my son's honor.
So what have you been doing? Did your son ever have an autopsy?
Yes. Yes, sir.
What did it reveal?
Yeah, myocardial. He had an enlarged heart, over twice the normal size. And Dr. Peter McCullough reviewed it. Dr. Witcher reviewed it also. Dr. Merrick,
Dr. Malone? I mean,
we've interviewed every one of those people. I personally know every one of those people. And you're telling me all of those people who are highly credible people reviewed your son's medical file?
Yes, sir. Because as Dr. Witcher knows, I carry a copy of his autopsy with me everywhere I go. And he asked at one time if I had, Dr. Witcher asked if I had his autopsy. I said, yes, sir, I have it right here. That way he didn't have to wait for me to mail it or email it to him. I always want to prove. I have that proof with me all the time. And, like I said, and no one's worried about it. I mean, I know people hear me talking. Unfortunately, I get phone calls, emails, text messages from all over the world. I mean, I've gotten them from Australia, Africa, Germany, Philippines, asking me for help. And they don't realize I'm just a regular person. I'm just a regular guy, fighting for my son's honor. And also, I'm trying to protect these other children. So, like I said, I've been to D.C. twice to speak. I've been to San Diego, L.A.,
Have you spoken before the committee for Senator, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson?
Yes, sir. He actually contacted me because I spoke in Austin, and I don't know how he heard the story. And someone I was doing interviews there or talking to people, they asked me, what are your plans now? The first time I went, I said, I don't know. Something inside tells me to go to D.C. So I decided to ride my motorcycle to Washington, D.C. And all of a sudden I get a phone call from Senator Ron Johnson. However, he got my number, so he goes, do you want to speak to you? I said, okay, oh, of course. And we did a radio chat, and he asked me, what are you going to do when you get to D.C.? And I said, I don't know, sir. I said, my only plan is to ride up there and knock on the gate. Maybe Biden will open up. I don't know. And he asked me to wait. My plans were to go in October. He asked me to wait for November. He said he wanted to be with me. That's when we had the first round table. And that's where I met all the vaccine injured, Rand, Dressy, Maddie, Steph, Joel, Kyle. Unfortunately, I can name hundreds of vaccine injured people. And like I said, to this day, I'm still getting calls, phone calls from everywhere asking for help because they're injured. They don't know who to turn to. I have a little girl here, her dad, 23 years old. Her dad found one of my cards that I passed out. He was at a shop having some work done. He seen the card and he said, oh my God. He told my friend, he goes, do you know this gentleman? He goes, yes. He goes, will he answer the phone if I call him? My friend said, yes, he will. So they called me. I talked to him and his wife. They said his daughter was vaccine injured, but no doctors here would see her. They would hear the story, they'd close the door on them. Or there was other doctors would say, it's all in her head, she needs to see a psychiatrist. So this poor young girl, kept herself locked up in her room. She wouldn't come out of her room. She used to live in Houston. She was an athletic trainer. Now she's locked up here in her parents' room, doesn't want to come out, thinking something's wrong with her. So I spoke to the parents, and then they were going to pay $10,000 to see a doctor in California. And I said, you know what? Wait, because I figured that doctor is going to tell them the same thing, see a psychiatrist, and they just lost $10,000. I said, let me connect you with some people I know. And so I got them with some other vaccine injured, doctors, their name to other doctors. And they found some people here, doctors here in Texas that started helping her. About 3 days later, the mother and the little girl FaceTimed me. I was eating dinner. So she, right away they said, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I said, no, ma'am, this is more important. I ran outside. The little girl was smiling. She was happy. She kept telling me thank you because she was able to talk to Brianne Dressing, Steph and Maddie, and she realized her same symptoms. These friends of mine also had the same thing. So she understood that she wasn't alone. And it wasn't her fault. To this day, she calls me just to thank me for helping her or for checking on her all the time.
Wow.
Doctor, Well, yesterday I got another gentleman in Houston. His own family, he's a 50-year-old. His own family doesn't believe that he's actually injured. They think it's something else. And he's real depressed and upset. We talked for about a couple of hours the other night. And he just kept telling me, thank you. Thank you for letting me call you and talk to you. I said, anytime. That's what I'm here for, you know.
Wow.
Okay, if I can help you, well. So, I mean, like, wow. I said, it's an ongoing thing.
Let me ask you in closing, Dr. Witcher, his son's heart was twice the size it should have been.
Right.
This is the common theme we're hearing with young people. This is, and of course, the media is not following up. I mean, where's the media talking about his story? Where's the mainstream corporate media talking about his son? Of course, we know that it's reported $1 billion from the Biden regime to Fox News, Newsmax, and other outlets to push this. Where's the media talking about all the healthy athletes that are dying on the field or in the swimming pool, as I reported on one Worldview report a couple weeks ago? You've seen the autopsy report, so you know that these young people are getting this shot and they're getting myocarditis, correct?
That's correct. Very, you know, they and the government knows that. The FDA knows that. The pharmaceutical companies, they know that myocarditis is a risk factor, especially in the young male. Okay, there's and so, you know, Ernesto is not alone here. I believe there's probably hundreds or even thousands of young men that have died the same way, but yet they're being covered up. You know, Ernest here has not gotten any results back. You know, he's tried to contact the pharmaceutical companies, the FDA, the CDC, and he's been ignored.
Mm. All right, Dr. Witcher, keep us posted. Ernesto, all I can say is, you know, our heart aches for you. I know our audience is filled with such incredible and compassionate people. I'm sure some people are shedding tears as you were shedding tears. I'm going to ask our audience to pray for you. I want to thank you for your courage to use this tragedy as a platform to honor your son and to try to stop this tragedy from happening to other families. And all I can do is just say, along with my audience, thank you for what you're doing, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Dr. Witcher. Thank you for everything.
Any updates we need from Ernesto or you, John, you just let us know, all right?
All right. Thank you, Brad.
And your website, Dr. John, is what?
You can go to just drjohnmd.org and find me and more information.
Okay. So the one on the screen is correct, drjohnmd.org?
Correct.
Okay, drjohnmd.org. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate your work you do and spreading the gospel as well.
Well, you're very kind. So thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ernesto. What a heartbreaking story. Wow. One thing to report it, it's another thing to meet the parents, isn't it?
In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we, who are patriotic conservative Christians, have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet, that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum openly in their own documents is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge?
All right, joining me now is Tina Peters and U.S. senatorial candidate Ron Hanks. Tina, welcome to the broadcast. Tomorrow is a very big day. It's been almost a year in August that I met you. And, of course, you've been on our broadcast so many times, and you've been harassed, you've been hounded, you've had your door kicked in, you've been arrested for trumped-up charges, but you've prevailed and you've persevered, and you're tomorrow on the ballot for you, Secretary of State in Colorado, correct, Tina?
That's right. That's right. They've done their best. They've taken their best shot, and I'm still standing, Brandon.
And do we have any good news about any polls tonight, Tina?
Well, let's see. So, I don't want to discourage people from going out and voting. As a matter of fact, you know, I never put too much stock in the polls. But a lot of the folks are waiting until the last day to vote. And we want to encourage anyone that's listening to this to make sure they call or contact their friends and family that are in Colorado, because as Colorado goes, so the rest of the U.S. goes, because, you know, Jenna Griswold is the chair for the Democrat Association of Secretary of State.
That's right.
And we see the same thing that she does to me, that she does, that Jocelyn Benson in Michigan does to Christina Caramo, and on and on and on. And so we're looking pretty good, though, Brandon, but we don't want to take anything for granted.
So what I'm hearing then is the polls are looking good for you, but we don't want people to say, "Oh, I don't need to go vote in the primary tomorrow," because I don't like the objective of, well, let's overvote the algorithm. But we actually have to have a lot of people turn out to make up for all the fraud, right?
That's right. That's right. We don't want to take anything for granted.
And as Secretary of State, you're going to get rid of the machines, right?
That's my goal. You know, I mean, when I was, when Jenna Griswold put out this edict, what I call it, it was supposedly a security, election security a memorandum that she wanted me to sign. And it said that I agreed to recant, renounce, and repudiate what I said about the machines need to be more transparent to the people. And then also she said that I would agree to use Dominion machines. And I said, no, I said, Dominion can put their, as a vendor, they can compete just like anybody else to see which vendor is most secure and transparent. When I wouldn't sign that, she went out and sued me the next day. So this is a woman that is, she's a tyrant. She has put more regulations in place in the 3.5 years that she's been in office than have been put in Colorado in the last 20.
Wow. Okay, so everybody needs to tweet, text, email, Facebook, get her, get the word out, get to the polls, vote tomorrow. Tina Peters is on the ballot, Secretary of State. What's your website? I can't read that print from this far.
It's TinaPetersForColorado.com, and it's Tina for 22 on Getter, on Twitter. Yes, we need support. Like I said, whatever happens in Colorado tomorrow is going to affect the rest of the U.S., Brandon, and we can't let it do that. So we're looking for a win.
Can we get an update from you tomorrow night?
You bet. Right. We'll be at a watch party, and we will hop on and let you know what's going on.
Excellent. We'll coordinate with Sharona on that. All right. We'll be praying for you tomorrow. Thank you, Tina, for persevering.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. You too, Tina. All right. Also, I want to have Ron Hanks join me. He's running for U.S. Senate in Colorado as well. Mr. Hanks, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate a chance to talk for a few minutes.
So your race is tomorrow as well. And how many are you running against in the primary for U.S. Senate?
One. There is a man that petitioned on. That is to say, he did not go through the caucus and assembly and meet the voters at the assembly. We have a process in Colorado where you can buy signatures and then get on the ballot via petition.
Okay. And so, again, you're retired military, right?
I am. I put in 32 years as an Air Force guy. I enlisted right out of high school and then commissioned about halfway through that. It was intelligence work the whole time, Arabic linguist, that type of thing. It was a great career.
Now, wait a minute. That's new. I didn't know that about you. So you read Arabic.
I do, and it came in pretty handy when we landed in Kuwait or UAE or in Iraq. You know, it was the flight. I was working mobility air forces at that time, and once the air crews figured out I could read Arabic, I was usually their driver or their security guy. So, you know, I'm a slow reader at this point, but any advantage helps, you know, when you're out there possibly getting shot at.
Absolutely. So have you seen any polls? Sounds like Tina's polls are looking pretty good. What are yours looking like?
We have some indications that we like where we stand right now, Brandon. We think we were going to win this rather readily on our own. There have been some mailers that have come in from outside sources that it's not us, but they're not inaccurate in their depictions of my political positions and my opponent's political positions. And it's, I think, probably adding to the, at least the conversation about the differences between me and my petition on opponent. Pro-life is really the big, big deal here right now in the sense that I'm pro-life and I fought it in the state house. In the longest floor battle in Colorado history, we fought against the worst abortion bill in the nation. And my opponent is not pro-life. Mm. And, you know, he went through the petition on process and people are stunned. And they said, how did we not know about this? And, well, somebody responded immediately. And that's about the most sage comment I've heard. He didn't meet the people and go through the process. So we basically have a pro-choice candidate on the ballot.
And they wouldn't let you participate in CBS Denver in a debate because you didn't have a COVID passport. I don't know if you just heard the heartbreaking story of the father that lost his 16-year-old son with his heart double the size it should have been from myocarditis after getting the Pfizer shot. But, you know, now they're pushing this on to younger and younger children, 5 years old or whatever it is. Do you? But you couldn't get into that CBS affiliate because you didn't have a COVID passport, which I think was a shenanigan to keep you off TV.
Well, it could have been. They would have let me in if I wore a mask. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to reveal my status of I revealed my own. I don't have a COVID vaccine card. I'm not going to get one. I have a shot record from the military that's probably about a meter long, and I'm done taking shots, you know. But I had two assistants with me, and I'm not going to give up their status or make them wear a mask. So we walked. And, you know, it's an important point about medical freedom, personal freedoms. And I think you're right, Brandon. I think it was an effort because it was on the same day that Giuliani had the trouble in New York at CBS Studios. So it's very likely an effort to just kind of squelch public discourse.
Absolutely. What's your website, sir?
It is hanks4colorado.com, and that's Hanks, F-O-R, colorado.com.
And you're going to have a victory party tomorrow night as well?
We are. Probably not too far from Tina Peters. So we expect a pretty good result, all things being equal. I think the biggest flaw we have in Colorado are the voter rolls are so overblown and inflated. And, you know, to have fake votes, you have to have fake voters.
Absolutely.
And that's where we are. So, but we think people have held their ballots back long enough that we believe these are people that have been paying attention to what the concerns are about these machines. So we'll live to fight another day.
Can we get a quick update from you tomorrow night as well?
I'd be honored. Thank you very much.
We'll look forward to an update from both you and Tina tomorrow night. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Two very important races. We'll be watching here and following up with them tomorrow night. Joining me very quickly to conclude our broadcast is Wes Peters with Swiss America with a financial update. Wes, welcome back. We got a great response from your last visit with us.
Hey, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Who would have thought I'd be on your program twice in less than a week?
Well, we got a good response. That's why, Wes. Good response. Hey, what I want to ask you about is some of this right here. Let's take a look at this right here. We get a lot of questions about numismatic. I've been purchasing the numismatic for years and years, as you know, because I've done business with you. And so you can testify to the fact that I'm being 100% honest when I tell you that, you know, I tell the audience that, you know, you've seen some of the numismatic coins I have. And also get a lot of people asking you about this, these coins, MS61, MS62, MS63. I think about the highest I ever went was MS63. Explain to our audience the difference between numismatic. What is numismatic precious metals? And what's the alternative versus just, say, fresh bullion, U.S. silver eagles or gold eagles?
Right. Well, you're correct. I mean, bullion is bars available in various ounces, 1 ounce all the way up to 1,000-ounce bars.
Or the coins. You're calling them bars, but also just the coins.
Coins, right. Krugerrands, pandas, maple leaves, roosters, philharmonics, coins from other countries. And then currently minted coins like the gold and the silver American eagles. And with bullion, you know, they have one market. They're simply worth the amount of gold or silver that they contain. And a downside to that, to some degree, is that price is easily manipulated in the paper market through Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, because there's no other market to support that product. And what they'll do is they'll take a long position. These big hedge funds and Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, they'll take a long position saying, we think the market's going to go up, and they do everything in their power to run the price up, making money. And then it'll get to a point where they'll say, well, you know, we've had a pretty good run here. Let's sell out of our long position, take those profits. We'll turn around and take a short position, which means now they're putting their money in the Vegas casino on Wall Street saying, we think the price is going to go down. And no sooner do they do that, they dump all these paper contracts on the market.
And make the price go down.
Correct. And it's the average investor scratching their head saying, what the heck's going on with gold and silver? And they would be losing money if they were selling. Wall Street's lining its pockets, bringing the market down. And personally, I think it should be illegal.
Absolutely. You know? Is this also called naked shorts?
Both sides of the
is this also called naked shorts?
That's part of it. Correct. Yep. Exactly. They'll run the market down, actually making money. And then they get it to a point and they say, you know, we're at a good level here. We've made a lot of money. We're bringing the market down. Let's sell out of those short positions, turn around, take a long position, and play that game all over again.
Okay, so tell me how numismatic, how does numismatic protect you to some degree from that?
Because it has two markets. It's not those products that are those physical products that are being sold off. With a numismatic, you have the metal content, but you also have an intrinsic value. A collectible value.
All right,
to
let's
that
go
coin.
To the screenshot. Let's go to the screenshot. Okay. So these are all in plastic cases so that they can't be tampered with and forged. So if you break it open, it's broken. Everybody's going to know it. If you were to call Numismatic Guarantee Corporation, as you guys maybe can see, that's what it says right there atop that top coin, Numismatic Guarantee Corporation. If you were to call them and you gave them that number right there, 312-5495-004, and you didn't say anything else, just give them that number, because I've done it, and say, what am I holding? They're going to say to you, you're holding a 1904 $20 Liberty. I think that's a $20 Liberty. MS-63, right. And its rating is MS-63, 1904, $20 Liberty. That's what you're holding. I've done it. They'll do that. Same thing can be done with PCGS, the other company. And a lot of times these markings, the stickers on these are, what do you call those, that special technology? What's that called? It's the hologram type thing.
Well, they've got halo on the back also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some deterrence for counterfeiting and stuff that, again, they would be able to tell if those holders were tampered with.
And so that's why it's in these cases, and then it's marked and noted like that. Now, why are there – we're going to have to hurry fast. Why are there – how many numismatic – this is anything 1933 and older that people didn't turn in when FDR said turn it in, and he told them to go pound sand, and they kept it anyway, right?
Correct. Like the Type 3, the $20 Liberty Gold piece, the Type 3s were minted from 1877 to 1907.
Mm-hmm.
And there were probably close to 50 million of those coins were minted during that period of time.
Oh, wait a minute. I think is this the graphic here, right here?
Yeah, I believe I sent you a graphic on that. Yeah, out of all of those coins, out of that many minted, only 495,824 have been graded by PCGS. And as you can see, none have graded as MS-70, 69, or 66. There's 12 MS-67s. And going down to the lower grade, like an MS-62, there are 237,116 of those MS-62s. So what they do is they look at these coins under magnification. They're looking for dings, nicks, blemishes, right down to how well was this coin struck when it was minted. Was it a clean strike or all the high ridges there, all the valleys, and they assign it a score. And, you know, again, looking at those numbers, the MS-62 compared to like even an MS-66, that there's only 311 of them, the higher that coin scores, the fewer coins are going to be, the bigger the premium, the more the intrinsic value is for that collectible. Just to give you an idea, those 12 MS-67s, an 1896S San Francisco Mint, value on that's roughly $300,000 on one of those coins.
Good night. So now when you get up into this range, MS-65 on up to 70, if there were any in that range, and there aren't in this coin, but others there are, you're now getting to rare art. But I've had the MS-62, correct. 61, 63s. I don't think I've ever went higher than MS-63. MS-61, 62, 63, that's not really like collecting rare art. And the premium I've paid on some of those coins, I have spot price and the premium price. And the premium price I may have paid on some of those coins was maybe $50, $75. But the beauty is, I bet the premium on the MS-62 or MS-63 is more than $50 or $75 now, isn't it?
Correct. Now, there are times in the market, depending on where the market is, and my job is to find value for my clients. If I'm talking with you, Brannon, and I'm looking at putting together a portfolio of circulated coins versus graded certified coins, if I see that I can get you into an MS-62 for $100 or $120 more than a circulated coin, I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't at least mention it to you.
And so you
because
could put us
myself
you,
first.
So you could put us into some coins that look like this, that come in a tube, that don't necessarily come graded in one of these plastic coins, but
correct.
they're still numismatic. They're just not going to come in these containers and be graded like that as much. They're going to come in a tube like this, and they're cheaper, but they're still numismatic. And the beauty of the numismatic, quickly, is you get the spot price, and then you get the premium price because it's a rare coin and it's private, which is why a lot of people want it. So you're able to make money on the spot price. You're able to make money on the premium because it's a rare collectible coin. So you can make money twice. It also, the numismatic goes down slower. So if there's a big something going on and you wanted to get out, you'll have a little bit of a warning, but it also goes up slower. But I don't think that's the biggest issue. Most people are interested in it because they can make money two ways, privacy and spot price. As more people awaken to what's about to happen to the U.S. dollar and they want privacy because they don't trust this government, there's going to be more people running into these coins. And as we've already seen, there's not a lot of them, which means that premium is going to go up. So if they get them now and then there's a higher demand for them, they're going to make money on the spot price and the premium price, and they have the privacy, right?
Correct. And they don't make them anymore. And as they get harder and harder to find, the premium's going to go up to entice people that are currently holding them to sell them back to the market.
And, of course, your job is to help them diversify with numismatic and some bullion, and you help them put together a balanced portfolio, right?
Correct.
And you help them move into their IRA, into precious metals as well, right?
Right. A lot of people right now are concerned about the stock market, obviously, and rightfully so. And we, you know, educate them on how to roll over a 401k or transfer an IRA with no tax consequences, no penalties.
All right. So call this number. You can call or text him. You don't even have to call him. You just text Wes. Say, Wes, I saw you tonight. I want the free packet. No obligation. Free packet. 602-558-8585. 602-558-8585. They've been one of my sponsors for 15 plus years. Many of you know him from him being at our Worldview Weekend. And you're coming to the Worldview Weekend at Lake of the Ozarks in October again, aren't you?
I am, correct. I already have my room booked.
Good. So you can just text him your name and address. Say, Wes, I want the free packet of information. You got a little history tonight on numismatic, what it's all about. He'll help you understand more, but you got a little idea as to what is numismatic and the privacy goes with them and the rating and the grading, and he can help you put together a portfolio that fits your interest, what's best for you, not what's best for Wes. Wes is going to look out for what's best for you. So you can text him your name and address. He'll send you that free packet of information to start doing more homework. 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585. Sound good, Wes?
Sounds good to me, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wes. All right, folks. Appreciate it. Went a little past my music, but that's all right. Don't tell anybody. All right. Thanks for being with us tonight. Appreciate you and your watching. And we'll look forward to being back here tomorrow night. And we'll follow up on Tina Peters and Ron Hankson. And we've got other guests coming this week, Naomi Wolf and many, many more. Don't forget, go to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66. Keep supporting what we're doing. We'll keep bringing it to you each and every night. Till tomorrow night, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio, my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month? Because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you so much for your support.